number.
No, I'm actually very far out of the area. I actually live in Buenos Aires.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just
Wow. Okay.
I work for a company that uses a 202 number because they're based out there. It's called the Capricorn Research Group. I mean, they're actually based in Buenos Aires, but they have a rep office in DC somewhere.
Nice.
So yeah, well, basically what I'm doing is like I said, I'm doing some work for the Capricorn Research Group, and they usually kind of do kind of research on investment. Up until this point, kind of more wealth management type issues, but now we're doing a project on real estate and specifically hard money lending. So we're kind of putting together like a supplement informational type report on hard money lending. So kind of the first step is just seeing what's out there and talking to people. So I mean, your interview will be included, and you know, obviously when we're done, I'll send you a copy.
Okay, sure. So just so I understand, you work for a company that's doing some research
Right.
for investment management
Right.
kind of stuff having to do with hard money investing in private mortgage notes.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, that's cool. And it's called the Capricorn Group, your company?
The Capricorn, the website is CAPR, CAPRG. It's just the Capricorn Research Group.
Okay, got it.
So if you just want to start, like, you know, tell me a little bit about your firm to start off with.
Sure. We are based in our offices in Baltimore, Maryland,
Okay.
and we lend in the DC area and the Baltimore area, basically DC, Maryland, and Virginia.
Okay.
We do residential investment property financing as well as some smaller commercial type of properties.
Okay.
The way we got started, we're three partners here and a couple employees. The two of us partners, myself and my partner Jason Balin, come from a real estate and finance background. We started working for banks maybe in the early 2000s, learned the residential underwriting, learned the commercial underwriting, did some real estate investing of our own, and then we were planning to start a company, and we, you know, looked at the different options in terms of different kinds of lending companies. Around that time, we hooked up with our other business partner. His name is Jeff Schiller. He's a real estate attorney who's been practicing in this area for 15 years or so.
Okay.
After teaming up with him, we decided that hard money lending was going to be the best business model for us, the best way to go. And we started producing our own loans about a little over 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it's been growing ever since.
Nice.
It's come along pretty well, actually.
Okay. So just kind of jumping
So.
right in, just you know, very simple, obviously. Well, how would you most easily define hard money lending? Like, what's your kind of elevator definition of that?
Okay. Hard money lending or any kind of private lending, whatever you want to call it,
Right.
bridge financing, private loans, what have you, exists in certain situations where bank financing isn't going to work. And there's a couple different reasons for that. It could be a simple time factor. Sometimes private lenders can fund a loan in 1, 2, 3 weeks, where it could take a bank several months to do the same loan. So sometimes people are willing to pay the higher interest rate just for a much shorter process, especially when it comes to an acquisition of a property. Another very common scenario is properties that need some kind of construction work. There are many, many properties that banks won't lend on if they need, you know, some kind of repair.
Right.
It can still be a very strong borrower and a very strong piece of collateral, but if they need work, sometimes banks just pass. Those I would say are the two main factors that drive people to private money.
Okay. And then kind of on the other side, like how would you, I mean, like in terms of the demographic of people who give you money to be lent out, how would you describe that demographic of investor? Is it pretty much all across the board? Is it mostly older people looking to get a decent return on their funds? Is it kind of hedge up other people's portfolios? Or how would you define a person that gives you money to lend out?
Okay. Our investors, the majority of people who invest with our company have come from our personal network, friends and family, and other people we know through business. A lot of them are here local, but not all of them. It's all private money from individuals, not institutional funds.
Right.
But they vary a little bit in terms of how much they want to invest and also their level of knowledge.
Right.
Some
Okay.
people are very savvy real estate people and very savvy investors who want to earn the double-digit rate of return but don't want to have they don't have to do too much work.
Yep.
I would say. And then other people are not very real estate savvy, and maybe they don't have as much investing experience, but they're still looking for the same kind of passive return.
Yep.
But they might be, you know, lower dollar kind of investors.
Okay.
And there's actually two different ways to, I guess, collect your funds when it comes to hard money lending, and we prefer one over the other right now. One is the fund model. Just like any other private equity fund or hedge fund, what have you, you issue a private placement memorandum to prospective investors, letting them know what you're going to be doing with the money. They drop the money into your fund, and you lend it out as you see fit. There are certain advantages to that, but that's not the model that we favor right now.
Okay.
For one main reason. The other model is called direct placement. And direct placement means that you close the loans in the name of your investor. One of our investors has a self-directed IRA, for example, and
yep.
he wants to earn some tax-free rate of return investing through that. So we will. So we close the loan in the name of the IRA, care of our company, Hard Money Bankers, because we service the loan and everything else. And there's a couple reasons why we prefer direct placement. The main reason is transparency. Especially, you know, in the days of, you know, Bernie Madoff and
right.
all the stuff going on with funds. People know what a fund is supposed to do with their money, but they don't know what actually happens with it.
Right.
In this case, our investors are able to review all of the information on a particular deal, all of the borrower's information, all of the property information, and like I said, even the legal documents have their name on them, the note and the deed of trust specifically. So we found that in terms of raising capital, especially when people don't, maybe they're not really savvy and they don't understand what we do, the fact that they can see exactly what goes into these transactions makes them feel much more comfortable.
For sure.
So
what you mentioned there
happy,
was some,
happy, so.
And you mentioned there was some advantages to the fund model. What were the advantages there? I mean, you don't use that model, but you said there was a couple things that were advantageous of using the fund model. Just you can leverage more, you can get more capital into one deal, or...
Okay. One of the possible advantages would be it would be a little bit of a quicker process if we did not review all of the loan information with the investor.
Okay.
If we just did our due diligence and then made our own lending decision to send it out, that would eliminate some time because it does take some time to review the underwriting and due diligence with the private investor.
Okay.
And then another possibility would be it would be possible to leverage
right.
some debt in with the equity. Earn a higher rate of return. That's another advantage of the fund model.
Okay. And just to the kind of unsophisticated investor who might be giving you money, what do you do to go about separating yourself from, you know, the kind of, from the subprime loan market? Like, I mean, people are kind of scared of real estate in general. How do you define yourself differently from there?
Okay. It's actually apples and oranges. It's two completely different animals.
Yeah, totally. I understand the difference, but I was just wondering how you go about getting, enticing clients to invest in the current situation where real estate is kind of poison at the moment, or at least to the unsophisticated investor.
Sure. I understand. Well, there were two main characteristics of subprime loans and what made them completely tank. One is lending at a very high loan to value.
Yep.
Which was very common, you know, throughout 2003 to 2006 or 2007. And so when the real estate market dropped, a lot of times these loans were and still are upside down, underwater. The property is worth less than the loan amount.
Right.
One characteristic of hard money lending is that it's always capped at 65% of the value of the property.
Okay.
And then also something else that the subprime market very much had to do with borrowers who are in a bad financial position.
Right.
And that has a lot to do with why they weren't able to pay their bills and why they had credit problems. The people who borrow money from us are professional real estate investors with solid financials, good credit, available cash. So two different borrowers entirely.
Gotcha. Okay. And then kind of in terms of, I mean, like you say you give, you know, between whatever 9% and 15% return on an investment, which an investor doesn't have to muck around with the houses themselves. Why would you say there's not so much visibility in the hard money market? Why is it not more popular? Why is there not, Hard Money Magazine, whatnot? Is it growing? Is it just kind of...
That's a very good question. And
in the kind of model of things are too good to be true, like, why have I not heard of this before? Why, as an investor, it seems great. I give you whatever, $100,000, you give me 15%, and I don't have to do anything. That sounds perfect.
Right. That's a good question, and it's something that I've thought about before, and here's what makes the most sense.
Okay.
Hard money lending in terms of how much volume is out there compared to other businesses and other kinds of investments is very, very small in a given marketplace like the D.C. metro area, which is a large metropolitan right. area with a lot of real estate transactions going on. There are not all that many hard money loans being done.
Okay.
It's just not a huge industry. There's probably, in a huge area like D.C., there's probably 10 hard money lenders, and we know them all. We all know each other.
Wow.
All
right.
And the amount of hard money transactions being closed every month is so small compared to bank loans or, other kinds of investments.
Right. Okay.
So I think just the volume of hard money business being done and how small it is, that's why investors don't know about it.
Okay.
It's not mainstream.
That's a very good answer. All right, thanks. And then also, what would you kind of classify as the major risks involved in hard money lending? I mean, would it be like kind of construction over delays? Would it be? I mean, what would you say like the biggest risks involved for an investor who's putting money in?
Okay. Well, there's a couple risks, and some of them turn out not to be that bad, but they're risks nonetheless.
Right.
One is a late payoff. The majority of our loan terms is 12 months long, sometimes uh-huh. shorter, but never any longer. And if a property takes longer than planned to sell or refinance, that term could have to be extended.
Okay.
That is a risk because people, do plan to get the money back at a certain time to
right.
look for the next deal. But at the same time, there's upsides to that. People start paying a higher default interest rate. Perhaps there's other fees that are charged in order to extension. But that's one. Another one is the obvious risk in any kind of loan is that you'll have to foreclose for a number of different reasons. Anything could happen. Say someone gets seriously hurt or injured and they're not able to do business.
Yep.
And they can't complete their project, what have you, and we would have to foreclose on it.
Okay.
One of the reasons that hard money lending is always capped at 65% of the value of the property is that if we do have to start the foreclosure proceedings and take a property back, we want to do so in a position where we'll be able to resell the property at some kind of profit,
right.
and have a gain there, or possibly rent it out if we had to. But either way, as long as we're at 65%, in all likelihood, we're not going to be losing any principal.
Yeah, you have some wiggle room there. All right.
Right. So that, obviously that's a definite risk there. But all things considered, it's very, very uncommon for anyone to actually lose principal. You just might have some, delays and
right. It's okay.
Some, inconvenient circumstances.
Is there a kind of a regulatory body for hard money lending at all, or, association of hard money lenders, or is it kind of just is it on the honor system?
Well, it's not The two main kinds of lending when it comes to real estate is residential owner-occupied homeowners.
Yep.
And then everything else.
Okay.
Which everything else includes commercial properties, residential investment properties, and hard money loans. So in the vast majority of states, there isn't any kind of licensing or regulatory body for commercial lending, which this is considered. California is the only one that
okay.
I know of.
Okay.
So the only thing that you would have to, the only thing you have to take into consideration is the usury laws, the usury rate that you're allowed to charge someone for a commercial transaction, which
okay.
varies from state to state. But
okay.
Either way, it's much higher than what we charge.
Okay. And then, have you had any experience with clients for some reason were unhappy with the process or the investment of investing with you guys. They didn't like the return. They didn't like the waiting. They didn't like anything about it. Is there a type of investor that might not be suited for putting his money in hard money lending?
Huh, that's a good question. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We don't really have any unhappy investors.
Fair enough.
I have found that once people do learn what it's about and have done one loan, they always come back for more.
Great.
That's how we know that it's, you know, a successful model for the majority of investors.
For sure.
Are there any kinds of investors that might not be suited for? Well, I would say that anyone who really can't grasp what it is that we're doing and who blatantly does not understand what they're investing in.
Okay.
You know, maybe certain elderly people, yeah, or what have you, who really don't understand what they're investing in, I would say that's not a suitable investor.
Fair enough.
But besides that, not really.
Do you have what's your kind of minimum investment, or what's your average, like 100 grand or less, more?
The average investment, I would say, is maybe a couple hundred thousand.
Okay.
We have people who have invested as low as maybe 30,000, and then certain people up into the seven figures as well.
Okay.
And anywhere in between is, you know, money we can put to use.
For sure. Okay. And then, I mean, you guys have been in it for 2 years. Like, when you say, I mean, would you say there has already been a heyday of private money lending, hard money lending? Do you think it's coming? Do you see growth in the industry? I mean, we already kind of discussed it earlier that you said there's just not that much in the sector. Do you see it growing at all? Or do you see it decreasing as, you know, interest rates generally decline? Or how do you see the industry shaping up in the, you know, foreseeable future?
Okay. Well, a couple things. I mean, another characteristic of hard money lending is that it really doesn't change that much. The guys who have been around 20, 30 years doing this have not changed their business model very much at all.
Yep.
And I know this because I've spoken to most of them. So in terms of how that fluctuates with the markets, if you're doing it right, it changes very little.
Right.
And now in terms of volume, I would say that, you know, in the past year and probably in the next couple years, there's probably more volume available for hard money lending simply because banks have cut back so much.
Right.
Loans that they used to do 2 years ago, they no longer do now. And they might even be very good loans. Say, for example, let me think of an example. A commercial loan on a commercial piece of property that a bank used to do, if they had a 680 credit score requirement.
Yep.
Say the loan was even at 25% loan to value, a very, very safe investment as far as the collateral.
Right.
If a borrower has a 679 instead of a 680, the bank would pass.
Wow. Okay.
Because they just do things on such a you know, huge scale.
Volume. Right.
That they have to make uniform guidelines and stay with them. But at the same time, you can see that that's probably a pretty good common sense deal, even if their credit score is 1 point below the requirement.
Right.
But that's just one example. There are tons of things that banks used to do that are still good loans that they don't do now and probably won't do for a couple of years.
Right. Okay.
So I'd say there's a little bit more opportunity in certain areas for private money lenders.
Okay. So, I mean, you'd also you could kind of say there's kind of like a negative correlation with, you know, how the market does and how you guys do. Like in kind of a downturn economy, you might potentially do a little better. Would that be a valid statement?
Pros and cons.
Excuse me?
Pros and cons. One, because of what I just mentioned.
Right.
When banks are having trouble, we might get more borrowers and higher credit quality borrowers.
Right.
On the other end of things, we have to deal with the same real estate market as everyone else.
Right. Fair enough.
So we have to be very careful of our values and where, you know, home prices or commercial property prices are trending.
Yep.
So pros and cons. Pros and cons.
Right. Okay. So I mean, I'm assuming like some of the properties were significantly affected by the crash. I mean, if they had been appraised a couple years ago at a certain amount or a year ago, and they lost value, that affected you guys?
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, D.C. area hasn't had as much volatility as certain parts of the U.S., but
right.
We definitely need to know today's value, what that property can sell for in 30 or 60 days.
Yeah.
That's the value that we have to base our loans on.
Okay.
Not a value from a year ago, not a 6 month market time.
Have you changed your model at all? I mean, like, is there any way to, kind of forecast the potential value and say by the end of the loan, like what you could sell it for in, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, or not at all? Just in terms of market volatility, it would be nice for you to kind of have an idea of what it might be worth if things hit the fan. Is that even possible?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you can tell in the past couple months what's going on in a certain area.
Right.
If property prices are trending downwards, chances are we're not going to be doing a loan in that area regardless.
Okay.
Because if that's the way they're headed now, then, it's just not something we would get into.
For sure.
And that is going on a little bit in commercial real estate, is that, they're starting to take the drop that residential took 3 years ago.
Right.
So we're very, very careful when it comes to commercial properties because of that.
Okay. Just kind of a more just kind of general question about the industry. Do you know, are you familiar at all with kind of the international presence of hard money lending? Does it happen in other places? Latin America, Europe, Asia? I don't know.
I honestly have very little experience with it.
Okay.
I do know that I see people I know in the real estate community looking for hard money for international projects, specifically in Latin America.
Okay.
For example, I happened to notice because I was in Panama a couple months ago, and just because I was there, I kind of was paying attention to what was going on in LinkedIn and other places regarding Panama.
Yep.
And I definitely saw people requesting private money loans for development and whatnot there.
Right, right.
But I don't have any personal experience with it. No.
Okay. And also, we kind of talked about, like what people invest with you guys, and you said between 30,000 and, seven figures. Is there, would you see a trend at all in, kind of high net worth individuals, or accredited investors trending towards hard money investment or not? Or is it just kind of all across the board?
Tough to say. I would say that when accredited high net worth investors are made aware of the opportunities investing in private mortgage notes, it's definitely attractive to them, especially considering the losses they've taken in the stock market in the past year or two.
For sure.
I wouldn't say that every accredited investor is just flooding to hard money lending, but there is a bit of a trend there, I would say, yes.
Great. And then just kind of, and then I think that's basically it. I mean, if there's anything you think I've left out, I think I've got a ton of information here. Is anything you thought?
I don't know if there's anything else I can think of off the top of my head. It's just, it's good that you and your firm are doing this kind of research because I think it's a...
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, like, I didn't really know anything about it a month ago.
For sure.
Especially in our current times when, hedge funds are disappeared and stock markets, you're buying GM for 53 cents. Right. So thank you so much for your time. I will email you as soon as this is finished. And thanks for speaking with me.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, David. If you have any other questions in the future, feel free to give me a call or send me an email.
Will do. Thanks, Chris. Bye. You take care.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one.
You too.